thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Good morning, church. Our reading this morning is Psalm 96. It's on page 591 in the church Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the earth, the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness. Would you pray with me? Great are you, Lord. Our words so understate your awesomeness. We have sung here today. It is easy to testify in church. Help us to testify about you to those we know, to those with whom we work. Help us to make opportunities to declare your glorious part in creation. In your personal love in Jesus, who gave it all for us. Forgive us when we let you down by staying quiet, fearful, and frankly, sometimes unfaithful. We should fear not. We have the true God, other gods false and of man's making. What have we to fear? Give us bold hearts. The Lord reigns. Amen. Maranatha, O come, Lord. We look forward to your return, Jesus. We look forward to your earthly reign. All creation groans until you return to make all things right. Thank you for allowing us to become children of God. Whence we will enjoy perfect peace, justice, and love, a time when our faith and hope become a perfect reality. Our world, Lord, is coming unglued. Until you return, Jesus, help us to occupy. Help us to be your faithful ambassadors. I pray for Pastor Jose this morning as he brings a word. that it will lighten our hearts. Help us to grow in our faith, that we might be true testimonies of your love and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Imagine for a moment that each and every one of you on the same day were celebrating your birthday. And as a result of that, we all get to do what we do when we celebrate a birthday. And that is to sing happy birthday. And all of a sudden, what you find is you're not whispering the words, you're not murmuring the words, but you're singing with your full self, your full soul. And as much as you're singing, you also know that all of that's being received by God Himself, as you are really worshiping. And that's pretty much what we are called to do in this psalm. And it is a psalm of celebration, and we have much to celebrate. Right? Last night I was stressing Joyce as she was making our cake for us. Right? And I'm sure it tastes just as wonderful, as beautiful as it looked. But let me tell you, for it to get to this place, she told me she was stressing out last night, right? And that's how life is, right? That's when we want to celebrate internally, we want things to be excellent, right? And sometimes things aren't so excellent. And, you know, I remember, you know, how we got here. And before, a year prior, right, we were planning and praying and asking God, right? It's like, what's going to be our next location? And doing our devotional time, my wife and I at different times had the sense that God was calling us to Port Jervis. And then later on during the week, we would share, hey, here's what God has given me. And she would say, you know what? I got the same thing. Right? And I remember going to Pastor John and saying, you know what? I think our next location is Port Jervis. He will deny this, right? But then he would look at me and go, yeah, we're not going to Port Jervis. Right? He'll be here later, but he'll deny that. And then 2-3 months of continual prayer and pressing in, Kim and I would pray over, okay, Lord, where do you want us? And we couldn't shake Port Jervis. Now, here's the thing, right? At no time when we're receiving Port Jervis was I saying, okay, send me. Right? That was not what I was looking for, right? But then Port Jervis was the location, right? And then all of a sudden, as you... we were sharing with the congregation, we would hear, right, of different members of the church that would travel to Montgomery to say, we've been praying for a place here in Port Jervis. And all of a sudden, right, through the work and effort of many, Right. We had that first service over at the Knights of Columbus on Stewart Avenue. Right. And it was exciting. Right. Because we didn't know what was going to happen. Right. And we didn't know where our location would be. And if you've been here long enough, you know that originally we were going to move into the old JCPenney building on Front Street. Right. And God had other plans for us. I remember my wife and I looked at this property, and our first initial thought was, no. Too much work. It's been closed for almost 10 years. It's, how are we going to make this work? It's going to cost too much in resources. But here's where God led us. Right. And again, it's, and we are here because of the love and care, the service of many, right? And many who have impacted my life and have changed my life dramatically, whether it is Dick Onofree, Seth Hansen, Libby, Ran, right? And there's so many more, and right, of people not that just have a love for God and what he's doing here on the West End. And that's what we've come to celebrate, right? To celebrate God, right? Because he's the one, right? That started all of this, right? And yes, sometimes we do come kicking and screaming, and right? But here we are, and you know what? And so much has happened, and there's still so much more work to do, and right, it's, but the psalmist calls us to sing, right, and to make a noise, and to make that noise to our God. When you read this psalm, this one doesn't have an author ascribed to it, right, but many would think that it's David, because in the middle of the psalm, the verses that we find there are the same verses that we find in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 to 33. And that's when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought to Jerusalem. And David surrendered all decorum, and he, as a king, just started dancing out of celebration. Right then. But this psalm, when you listen to it, it is a psalm, right, that calls for his people to sing, for the nations to sing, for creation to sing. Right? And it's about worshiping the very one who created everything that you and I get to enjoy. Because he has been faithful then, he is faithful now, he is going to be faithful in eternity, right? So hear these words. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all the people, right? It's three times we're called to sing to the Lord, the one who keeps his covenant promises, right? And as I was preparing this message, and when scripture calls you to sing a new song, right, it's, well, what is that, right? And I believe that when you encounter God, and maybe when you encounter God in such a special way, that something from deep inside your soul just springs out, right? Because that's what an encounter with God is, right? And you can hear the psalmist, right? That this song that I am going to sing, which contains musical instruments, my voice, all of it, right? is a new song as a result of what God has done. And not only is it going to be a new song, but it's a song that all the earth is going to sing to God as we sit and bless his name for what? For his salvation, for his saving work, for the very thing that you and I need more than anything else, his salvation. And here's the thing, right? That when we sing this new song, and for those of us who know our scriptures, it should remind us of what the Apostle John said in Revelation 5, verses 9 through 10. They sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open it, seal. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." When we read these words in Revelation, it is the fulfillment of what Psalm 96 says, of singing a new song, because all of us are going to be singing this song, right? And if you don't like to worship, if you don't like to sing, get used to it, right? Because you're going to do it a lot, right? Right, to sing. "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." To praise him, to give him glory, that he deserves this day after day, right? And sometimes you and I get tired of doing certain things, right? And scripture calls us to do it day after day after day, that he's great, right? And when we think of God's greatness, it's hard to comprehend that, right? Because he is great in his love. He is great in his power. He is great in his creation. He is great in his redemption. He is great in his love. He is great, right? And you could just keep on going in reference to why we should give praise to God. And here's the thing, right? When we are called to sing to the Lord and to give God praises, it isn't because he needs it. Don't think that you're so special, right? But he receives it, especially when it comes from that place deep inside your soul. Right? He is above all other gods. You see what it says, right? Worthless idols, right? It's that word idol in the Hebrew, elim, right? Sounds very similar to the Hebrew word Elohim, right? God. But the thing is, elim is translated nothings, right? So there's a play on words, right? That these individuals worship nothings, right? These things that we give our attention to and lift up, they're not going to do anything, right? And all of that effort and energy that we give to these nothings, God is saying, I am deserving of that. He is above all. He is the one that Scripture calls, right, that in splendor and majesty, that is before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We're grateful for the Apostle Paul, right? Because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, he would tell us, therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. Right? So he will affirm, right, that an idol is nothing. Right? All of those things that humans do, right, in order to worship, they're nothing. Right? And if we look at the New Testament, those would be the gods of the Greeks, whether it's Zeus, Athena, all of them are nothing. Right? And as I said last week, right, it's in that if God is a jealous God and he's creator of all things, then one would have to come to the conclusion that God would not create another God to compete against him. However, there are fallen angelic beings that are demonic, and they would receive the worship you would give them. Right? So make sure you know, what are you worshiping? Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Here's the amazing thing. There are many things that you and I experience that show strength, but maybe not beautiful. Just as much as there are many things that you and I might see and might call beautiful and might not be strong. But when you see strength and beauty, these are the only things that are assigned to God. It is his strength. It is his beauty. It is his presence, his glory. To be worshiped. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Three times we're called to ascribe. And really what Scripture is saying is to give. Right. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Right? And we know that when Scripture says anything more than once, it's because it wants to emphasize it. Right? It wants to bring it into focus. And these are the verses that King David used during the return of the covenant, of the Ark, into Jerusalem, where it says, O families of the people. And the thing is, that phrase, O family, is only found in one other place, right? And that is in Genesis 12, verse 3. And that is where God told Abraham that through him, many families would be blessed. Right? And here's the thing, that when we look at the lineage of Abraham, through his descendants, we see the fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Right? That many would come to know, many would be saved. And as a result of that salvation, we're called to give to the Lord. to give of our very being to worship him. You know, ask yourself, right? It's sometimes when we care for something, right? It's we almost take it to the edge of worshiping the thing we have. And God is saying through Scripture, put it all in its proper perspective. It says to bring an offering, and that's not a blood offering. That is one of those either grain offerings or oil offering. But it's something that's going to cost you. And he's inviting us into his court to worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Right? And I don't know about you, but when I find myself stepping into the presence of God, all of a sudden, I find myself very small, and I find myself always falling short of what he wants for me. But with that, he calls me to worship him. Right? And you can see it in Scripture, right? Over and over again, Lord, Lord, Lord. Like, Scripture wants you to get a hold of that this is the God who keeps his promise. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. The Lord reigns. Jehovah Melech. He is Lord. Right? And here's the thing, you can see the circle's getting wider because now it's about the nations, right? Those are the people who come to know who God is, the Gentiles. Imagine for a moment, right? Over 2,000 years ago, a movement happened, right? Where Jesus Christ told his disciples to take this message, right, to the ends of the earth. And here we are, 2,000 years later, on the west end of Port Jervis. Right? It's pretty amazing, right? And we're here until he comes again. Yes, the world is established and it shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity, right? And that equity is with righteousness. In other words, nobody gets extra favoritism or treatment. Everyone is dealt with equally. That's why it's important to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because when you receive him as Lord and Savior, he takes what you and I should get. You know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but this past week, right, this individual, Charlie, got assassinated, right? And now we're focused on this young 22-year-old, right, who took his life, and some are talking about the death sentence, and in that location, they do it by firing squad. Like I'm surprised by that. Like, what? Right, the very thing that he used to take somebody's life is what's going to be used to take his life if it gets that far. But here's why I say that, right? As difficult as that might be for you and for me to understand, he is still going to have to stand before God and get judged for his actions. Let me tell you, I don't want to be there. Right? Because nobody gets away with it. Right? Nobody gets away with the things you think you get away with. Because he keeps an account. Right? And we have to give an account. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Right, all of a sudden you see all of creation worshiping God. Right? The earth, the sea, everything that's in it. And here's the picture of that. That when Genesis 3:6 happened, sin impacted all of humanity and all of creation. So not only do we as humans cry out to God in need of what he has for us, but his creation itself can't wait until he comes. The earth, the sea, the fields, the trees, all of them are waiting. The heavens, the earth, all of them are waiting for him to come back. And in this, there's that picture, right? It's, have you ever felt, man, it looks like they're getting away with it again, right? Have you ever been hurt by somebody and you think because of their position, power, authority, that they get better treatment in society and in life than you do? And as a result, they're getting away with it one more time, right? And the picture here is that there's going to come a day, right, where they got to give an account, right? And you can take and rest in that, right? And say, you know what? I don't have to worry about them. If anything, I could surrender them to our Lord. Paul would remind us in Romans 8:21 that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Right? Not only are we going to be the recipients, but this world's going to be the recipient. Right? It's, we never think about it in that dimension, right? That this created world is held in captivity because of sin. And that it too needs to be set free. So as we come to a close and as we think about what God has been doing through these last 10 years and so on, right? Think of this. As we celebrate, let us not look back. Let us look back with gratitude, but forward with renewed commitment to keep singing God's songs here in Port Jervis until the whole earth knows the Lord reigns. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can come and worship you. And regardless of what we might go through, none of that shakes you. None of that moves you from your throne. If anything, you look at it and go, ah, I know exactly what that is. Lord, thank you for being God. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that as we celebrate this day, you would send us forth into this world proclaiming your good news, your glorious saving message of the gospel. Lord, we thank you and we ask all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, would you rise as we worship our God?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.